Hi, I'm Steve Englenberg. Welcome to the ProPublica podcast. As many of you know, we like to experiment with different ways of doing investigations. So for this week's show, I'm going to speak with ProPublica's community editor, Blair Hickman, and news applications fellow, Jeremy Merrill, about the unique approach we're taking on an investigation of internships. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you, Steve.
Thank you.
Blair, Jeremy, why internships? How did we get started on this?
It's been a topic that we've seen discussed a lot in the media. People say it's a big problem. There have been a lot of anecdotal reports of bad things that have happened to interns and its effect on the economy, but there hasn't really been a really thorough investigation into it, and we thought we could do that.
Well, when you say bad things, I presume we're not thinking about Monica Lewinsky's internship, but sort of more of run-of-the-mill bad things. So what kind of things happen to people in internships that, you know, if the public knew about it, they might be outraged? Blair, what kind of things are at issue here?
I think there are a few issues. One of the most obvious is pay. Basically, there's a 6-point test that the Department of Labor has released, and a company's position has to meet all 6 points in order to qualify for an internship to be unpaid, and that's just not happening in a lot of cases. These unpaid internships have been on the rise for decades, but it's definitely been exacerbated by the recession. And so what's happening is there are more and more unpaid internships. It's depressing wages. It's creating an equality barrier. There's an access issue. And they've basically, in a lot of cases, replaced entry-level jobs. So there are just a lot of questions about what that's done to the economy, what that's done to young people's access to employment.
Well, let's break that down a little bit. You mentioned this 6-point test. So that all sounds very complicated for an employer. What kinds of things really have to happen here to make an internship unpaid? What is the government really looking for?
Law experts generally say, and the Department of Labor has even said, that if you are a for-profit employer, most likely your internship will need to be paid. There are 6 points, but in the cases that have gone to court, a lot of times it boils down to who derives the most benefit out of this work. Is it the intern or is it the company? Is the company's operations actually being impeded by having this intern here and having to train them?
So in other words, if you're doing something of value, even if it's getting coffee or making copies, you should be paid for your work. That's the government's view.
Exactly. For a for-profit company, there are different rules regarding nonprofits and the government.
Well, Jeremy, you know, on the counter side of this, isn't it a great way for people to get experience, to get an internship by hook or by crook? I mean, you see an awful lot of young people taking these unpaid internships. I guess they look at it as investing in themselves?
It's definitely the case that it might be good for one individual intern in their particular situation. But from a sort of systemic perspective of that of the whole economy, it might be bad for a couple of ways because it might cut out certain sectors of the economy from even entering the workforce because they can't afford to spend 3, 6, 9 months or even a whole year without getting paid.
Well, that's a very good point. So when somebody takes an unpaid internship, I mean, let's assume we're here in New York City where things are crazy expensive, rents and food and so on. You know, even if you eat ramen every night, you're certainly going to be spending money every month. So, you know, in a case of somebody who takes an unpaid internship for, let's say, a year, how do these people live? Well, who pays?
We actually have created a questionnaire where we're asking current interns and former interns to fill out our questionnaire and tell us a number of things about how they got their internship, what sort of work they did, and that very question, how they support themselves. Some folks work a job at night. Some folks paying for it with student loan money while they're in school. Some folks are supported by their parents if their parents can afford that.
A substantial number, I would say, received parental support.
And there are plenty of people who have paid internships.
But for those who are unpaid, it sounds like what you're saying is that you're really setting up a kind of class division. People of less means who might already owe a lot of money on their student loans, let's say, and need to work that job simply to pay back their debts, they're not going to get an unpaid internship. And that is going to keep them out of certain kinds of work. Where are these unpaid internships typically found? I mean, is there any industry that predominates?
We haven't done any statistical analysis, but just looking at the results we've gotten, there are a lot of unpaid internships in fashion, in marketing, and even in journalism.
And we should point out here that ProPublica's interns are, in fact, paid regularly. We would not be doing this story, clearly, if we were not paying our interns.
Yeah.
But yeah, okay, so we see it in journalism, which is a dying industry, but as we all know, an economically challenged industry. Fashion? Last time I checked, they were making money hand over fist. Why are so many unpaid interns in fashion?
We can't say why the fashion industry leans this way, but it's also, I would echo Jeremy's point, our data echoes what you read a lot about and the stories that you hear. They're referred to as the glamour industries. It's hard to say why. I suspect an issue of demand may be one. People really want to work in these companies, so they'll do whatever they have to do. And if one person says, I'll work for free, then why would the company pay somebody else who can't afford to do that?
Now, I gather that some companies have actually been sued about this. There have been some class action lawsuits. So how do those things come out when people actually get together and sue? Well, what do the courts say about all this?
There was one case that settled. Some former interns sued the Charlie Rose Show, and that settled out of court. The interns are getting some money, though the Charlie Rose Show and Charlie Rose didn't admit any wrongdoing. There are two ongoing cases where the interns are represented by the same law firm that are going to trial, I think, this summer.
And I would say those are the three big class action suits lately, but we have talked to one lawyer who's represented a lot of interns, and he said a lot of these cases actually settle out of court because the company would rather just pay the one to two people who are going to complain and keep it quiet. But I also wanted to emphasize that this goes beyond pay. If you're an unpaid intern, whether or not you're entitled to the same workplace protections as full-time employees is questionable. And there have been a few sexual harassment cases taken to court in particular, and they were dismissed specifically because the unpaid intern was not paid and thus legally was not considered an employee. So thus they were not entitled to Title VII protection.
Wow, that seems pretty outrageous. Now, cases that come to civil court are obviously cases that haven't been picked up on by whoever is supposed to enforce these laws in the first place. So who is that? Who's in charge of making sure that the six-point test is followed and the laws are followed? I mean, does anybody do that?
It should be the Wages and Hours Division of the Department of Labor.
Do they actually do that? Does anybody ever check?
It doesn't sound like there's been much enforcement, if any at all.
It's kind of a double-edged sword because the Wages and Hours Division, as we have been told, has some resources issues. So the bandwidth that they have to aggressively enforce this law is low. And on the flip side, a lot of interns don't file complaints at all because they don't want to anger somebody that they might need for a future job or a letter of recommendation.
Right. So theirs is a system that somebody complains, they're going to investigate, but they're not going to go out and look for trouble.
Sometimes they'll look at internships as part of a larger company or industry review. So they'll go in and look at several aspects of that company's labor practices, and internships will be one of them.
In general, at ProPublica, we have staff reporters who pursue stories, and that's our model. But in this particular investigation, we're trying a different approach, doing something new. Can you tell us a little bit about what we're doing?
We have a Kickstarter where we're raising money to hire an intern, a paid intern, to go and investigate internships. They may travel around the country, visit college campuses, and talk to interns on video and get their story.
Explain what a Kickstarter campaign is for our listeners, because I'm not sure everybody knows. How does that work?
We're asking our readers and people who are interested in seeing this investigation and its results to donate money, whether that's $5 or $100, to help us raise the money to hire this intern and pay for their.
So just to elaborate on that, Kickstarter is a crowdfunding platform where anybody can create what's called a project and go out and try to solicit backers. So that's what we've done. We've created that. And the way Kickstarter works is if we don't hit our goal, which is $22,000, we don't get any of the money. So it is very important for people to donate. I also wanted to say, though, like beyond the Kickstarter, I think from a reporting perspective and project perspective, what's particularly noteworthy about this is we're starting with community and we are starting with data and news applications. And we're letting the stories that we've said from the get-go, we are investigating internships and we're doing this in a very open way, which is a little bit different than our normal investigations. And because of that, we've gotten a ton of tips flooding in and we're starting to do news reports off of that, but it's starting with the crowd.
Anybody listening who happens to have an internship experience should definitely get in touch with you and Jeremy.
Yes, we have an online form. You can go to propublica.org/internships and share your story with us there, and we promise it will be confidential.
Now, not only have we created a Kickstarter campaign, but I understand there's actually a bit of a movie that goes with this. And it has some exciting new young stars, which I don't want to spoil for anybody. They should just go click on it and check it out. But that can also be found at ProPublica.org/internships, right?
Yes, it's on there. It's not Owen Wilson and Vince Vaughn, in case anybody was wondering.
Right, although we're very happy that there's a major movie out right now, which apparently, as I understand it, does feature two guys, a little bit older to be sure, taking unpaid internships at Google.
And age discrimination is a major issue in this area, so it should be very interesting to see how they're portrayed.
So the Kickstarter campaign, how are we doing so far, and how much time is left?
We've been through about a quarter of the time period of the 31 days allotted to raise the $22,000 we're trying to raise for this campaign, and we've raised about a quarter of that money. So we really do need your help to go to the Kickstarter to contribute and help us raise that money.
Now, there's really two parts to this effort. Part number one is to raise the $22,000, but we also need to get matching funds from the Knight Foundation to have 1,000 people contribute. So in this case, even a $5 contribution, even a $2 contribution has value to us because it's going to help us get that matching money from Knight.
Yeah, this is on a tiered basis. So if we get 250 backers and we also hit our fundraising goal, then Knight will give us $2,500. If we hit 500 backers, they will give us $5,000. And 1,000 backers, they will give us $10,000. All of those levels, it's contingent on us hitting our fundraising goal of $22,000.
Now, once we have that money and we go out and hire our intern, what are they going to do?
We are going to make a microsite on the intern economy. So in addition to our news apps and our community building efforts and traditional Watchdog reportings, we want to have a section of the site and of this project that really focuses on the human side of things and on people's actual experiences. So our intern is going to travel around the country, which is part of what the Kickstarter will pay for, interviewing people on film and putting those together into a compact little site that hopefully lots of stories in volume will really create a solid picture of this issue. And we want it to be very visual, film, animation, graphics, very interactive. We kind of want to experiment with storytelling as well as the way that we fund that storytelling.
That sounds fascinating. Thanks, Blair and Jeremy, for being with us.
Thank you.
Thank you, Steve.
To donate to our Kickstarter campaign and read more about this project, go to propublica.org/internships. And I'd like to say, as an old dog in the newspaper business and journalism business who's seen a lot of destruction wrecked upon the journalism world by the internet, I'm very excited about this project because it looks to me like this has enormous possibility of using the internet to do journalism in a new and exciting way. Thanks for listening. For ProPublica, I'm Steve Engelberg. We'll catch you next time.